Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And advanced security for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract, plus for a limited time. Ask about an $800 holiday bonus prepaid card with a qualifying internet package. Don't wait. Call or go online to ComcastBusiness.com today. Ends 12/15/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 150 megabit per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Experience the unbeatable performance, quality, and craftsmanship of a Decor kitchen. Decor is dedicated to excellence in design, performance, and connectivity, enabling exceptional experiences and inspiration at every touch. Come into Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill to discover the full line of Decor appliances and save up to 20% with a qualifying purchase with their 5-10-20 promotion. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill and start saving on your Decor kitchen today.
Only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500. Discount on eligible product only and reflected in quote. Restrictions apply. See Pro Desk for details. MVP's Pro's Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms subject to change.
Chain Company is your go-to destination for high-quality fine jewelry gifts. Come find beautiful gifts at competitive prices. From dream engagement rings to tennis bracelets, engravable charms, and more. All in stock and ready to give. Chain Company, your friend and jeweler.
1-877 cars for kids. K-A-R-S cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today. 1-877 cars for kids. K-A-R-S cars for kids. 1-877 cars for kids. Donate your car today.
Donate your car today at carsforkids.org. Your car, running or not, can be picked up as soon as the next day. No title, no problem. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or go online at carsforkids.org to donate today.
Hurry, it's your last chance to donate for 2024.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, CARS-FOR-KIDS.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Accepting donations of land, homes, buildings, or any kind of real estate.
How do you spot the all-new Nissan Rogue Rock Creek? Here's a hint. It's got all-terrain tires, a tubular roof rack you can't miss, and it's tough inside and out with lava red detailing. You'll also find it in its natural habitat, climbing mountains, attacking rugged trails, and never backing down from any adventure. The first ever Nissan Rogue Rock Creek.
Intelligent all-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Always secure cargo. Heavy loading of the vehicle with cargo, especially on the roof, will affect the handling and stability of the vehicle.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You hear that? That's the sound of another year counting down. Another year missing your revenue goal. Another year wondering why your marketing isn't more effective. Another year worried about next year. The clock is ticking, but you still have time. Time to contact the experts at Scale Marketing. Scale Marketing is a full-service marketing agency who is expert in lead generation and revenue growth. Our clients see an average of 20% growth in the first year alone, with sustained growth from there. From your traditional marketing to social media to paid search, we'll take a forensic approach, digging deep to find the root problems in your marketing strategy. Then we'll fix them fast. At Scale Marketing, we can't stop the clock, but we can change your company's future. Find out how you can make your marketing budget work harder and drive more revenue. Contact us at scalemarketing.com or call us at 833-SCALE-25. That's 833-SCALE-25.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
It's a wrap.
Oh, baby, it is a wrap. Oh, baby, I don't even have an Emmy. It is a wrap. As the Niners lose 35-10, it wasn't even that close as they get smoked in the snow against the Buffalo Bills. And we got some sad news. Christian McCaffrey, PCL injury. We'll get an official prognosis on that injury and see if he's going to be out for the season or not.
You know it's bad when you're like, hey, at least it's not an Achilles.
No, well, we don't know if it's an Achilles. We don't know. It looked like an Achilles from the angle with the calf just exploding. That looked like an Achilles, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? It
and
is Lions season.
So good. He looks so good.
Look great.
I literally texted the thread, oh, my God, the old McCaffrey's back.
No, I was like, wow, this guy is turning back the clock. He looked great in the snow. And I thought he was going to keep the Niners in the game. And then he gets hurt. And Fred Warner's out there. Shout out to Fred Warner. Shot him out. Fractured ankle since week four. And why did he divulge that information? I don't know, but he's been playing with a fractured ankle since week four.
I'm glad he did because you know why? It gives context to why he hasn't made a play in weeks. And I told you I thought the ankle was bad. Fractured ankle? Come on, man.
No, he looks great. And I also thought it was maybe a message at guys who aren't playing.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
I'm out here with a fractured ankle. You know, Trent has an ankle sprain. Obviously, he takes over it all. And I'm not going to question the toughness of Trent Williams, but he doesn't make the trip. Nick Bosa doesn't make the trip. I know he didn't make. I don't know if Nick Bosa was there yesterday, but I know he didn't make the trip in Green Bay. And I'm watching Fred Warner play with a fractured ankle at middle linebacker. And I'm watching Christian McCaffrey try to come back and help this football team despite being diagnosed with bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Those two guys are gladiators. Gladiators. Juwan Jennings, tough as hell. He fought his ass off yesterday. I thought Juszczyk fought, but he fumbles inside the red zone, which is kind of a microcosm of his season. He didn't get to Deebo Samuel, who did what he did to Tabor Pepper, clocked back at T.O. because T.O. came on this show, and we didn't even ask about Deebo Samuel. You asked about Juwan Jennings, and he said, well, Deebo's worried about more about his pregame outfits, and he quit to go to the Twitter fingers, and he's put together, after that Tampa Bay game, three forgettable weeks. Just forgettable weeks for Deebo Samuel. And this is how it's ended for Deebo. 1 year, number one. That's all he's going to have in the Niner uniform. 1 year, number one. That's it. It's done. And it's kind of a microcosm. Then we get to the quarterback, and you look at the quarterbacks, and the owner comes out and says, hey, we're going to reset the market with Brock Purdy. Well, you look at Josh Allen, and you look at Brock Purdy, and you tell me who you rather have, and who would you rather reset the market with? Josh Allen's making 40-plus, and he's going to jump up to $63 million. He's worth every penny for that team.
Every
penny. Organization. You willing to do that with Brock? You still willing to reset the market with Brock Purdy? We better be careful.
Well, and like everyone, well, they didn't lose because of Brock. And da, 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 da. It's like, dude, he had a Brandon Allen game. Like, just call it what it is. He threw for 94 yards. And all of it on screen passes. You were down 25 for the majority of the second half, right?
Yep.
And people can make excuses. Well, they fumbled here, and they didn't do this. And they did. Dog, they did not move the ball at all. Did you have any confidence? I'm just asking any Niner fan. Close your eyes. Watching the game back. Did you have any confidence when he dropped back? I didn't. And I have been more confident in Brock leading up to this year than ever before. And I can't believe I'm here. The guy I see looks like a shell of himself.
The heating pad before the game on the elbow. That was the heating pad they were using before the Pittsburgh game last year when he was coming off the Tommy John. Same thing. So what's going on with the shoulder? What's going on with the elbow? He didn't throw much Friday. So, you know, Brock Purdy's probably going to be back. I have no idea. But the fact is, can anybody explain? I don't want to hear that you have no receivers to throw it deep to. Well, Jacob Cowley's on the team. He's got speed.
Ricky Pearsall's on the team.
First-round pick, yeah. Ricky Pearsall's on the team. I mean, you can't throw one deep route?
Okay, last I checked, this is who suited up for the Niners. Kittle, Jennings, Debo, McCaffrey, and I know he got hurt, and Ricky Pearsall. Let me read the names for the Bills on the wide receivers. Mac Hollins. Yeah, that Mac Hollins. Shakir. Yeah, no one knows who that is. Some guy named Q Morris, a tight end. And then the other guy, Knox. They didn't even have their best tight end.
No.
So I don't want to hear that you need to have weapons, because the other guy didn't need any weapons.
Well, and George Kittle only got two targets yesterday. Can anybody explain that one? Is that on a coach, the quarterback?
All of it.
I mean, two targets for George Kittle? Please.
All right. A snow game.
In a snow game, two targets for George Kittle.
Where I would need someone like him to catch a couple over the middle.
That's another guy who has left everything on the football
field.
No
doubt.
He's a guy I ride with. He's a guy I ride with. He's been a leader. Let's go to the Lions, man. 888-957-9570. A frustrating morning and a realization that this 49ers team is not getting back to the mountaintop. They're so much farther away from that Super Bowl than we all want to admit. And I want to revisit what we said in Las Vegas, because I didn't remember what I said after Las Vegas. I was so crushed after that game. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. It may be our best shot in years. Jay in Oakland, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, before the break, one of your callers said that they're flying their Niner flag upside down. Well, if that's the case, man, I'm flying my flag half-mast because this season is dead, bro. give me a second to talk to Jay York and John Lynch, man, because I know they're listening, man, and you can't blame them. This is the best show on the air, so I don't blame you. Jay York, John Lynch, I know you guys are listening, bro. I know y'all like to throw money around like you in a strip club, but I beg you not to re-sign Brock Purdy this offseason. I'm begging you, bro. I'm dead begging you. And I like an owner who likes to open up the checkbook and pay his players, but it has to be for the right amount, and it has to be for the right player. And to be honest with you, you look back in the last year or two, what contract they're giving out actually looks like a smart business decision. If you look back at it.
I'm giving you silence because I'm trying to think. Hey, real quick, I want you to stay on the
Maybe
line, Jay.
The Kittle deal.
I want you to finish this deal. I want you to finish this call. But the Kittle deal, you're right, Chaskey.
It was 4 years ago,
Kittle
though.
Deal was good. The Fred Warner deal's been good. But the Debo Samuel deal, the Nick Bosa deal so far, the Trent Williams deal, the Brandon Ayuk deal so far, hasn't been pretty. Hasn't been pretty, Jay.
Right, right. And I meant more so for the last year,
yeah,
and a half.
Yeah,
right?
Last year.
Right.
Half, okay.
100 years has been
right.
Exactly. And like I said, I like owners that open up the checkbooks, but I'm begging you guys, so I know they're listening, do not re-sign Brock. Let him play off this last year, man. And I'm not going to say I'm a Brock hater, but I haven't really seen all of the hoopla that everybody else has been on. And I called a year ago and was like, look, man, Brock's play is about to jump off or fall off a cliff. And I looked at it more as like a Lynn Sanity moment when Jeremy Lamb was playing for the New York Knicks. He got hot and he just fell off the cliff. But my last point is, and I know that's a cross-sport analogy, but my last point is, Brock is a good quarterback, but he's more on a tier of like a Derek Carr and a Kirk Cousins. And you saw how both of those quarterbacks has been finagling franchises for money for years. So don't fall into the don't make Brock Kirk Cousins 2.0 and let him take us to the bank. All
let
right,
me
fellas.
Take you a step further. Please, dear God, Kyle, do not trade for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, well, Kirk Cousins will
you like
be available.
That? You like that?
He threw four picks yesterday. May have thrown the Falcon season away with that pick, with those four picks. And you don't think they're down in Atlanta saying, because I don't know what I was listening to over Thanksgiving break. Some radio show at the station. It was just random national, and they were saying the buzz in Atlanta.
Was it Jody
Mack? No, I don't remember who it was. I was just Baby Chaz in the car, and all I did for a second, I was at a red light, and I zoned out listening as Baby Chaz was watching cartoons on my phone, and a guy goes, well, everybody we know that covers the Falcons say, Penix in practice throws such a much better ball than Kirk Cousins, not even funny. And they said, it's just a matter of time before Penix Jr. plays. So once that happened, we know the writing's on the wall for Kirk Cousins. which is the worst thing that could happen for San Francisco 49er fans, because it's going to be another offseason saying, do not sign Kirk Cousins. Do not trade for him. Please, Kyle, no. Because guess what? That will be back on the table once again. And you don't think some Niner fans are going to say, just re-sign Sam Darnold.
Ugh. Maybe well, Darnold has played really well.
He has.
I can't deny him.
And there's a reason why the play-by-play announcers are saying, well, Darnold, man, they didn't give him a shot. He should have been a starter. We think he could be the starter. They're going to play Penix Jr. soon in Atlanta. You better believe that. You better believe that. I'm going to play this back and forth with George Kittle on the lack of targets.
Okay.
Because it is criminal. You have George Kittle, the best tight end in franchise history. Shasky get two targets yesterday. Are you kidding me? Two targets for George Kittle?
I just don't know how you walk out of that game and he doesn't get the looks.
Two targets. Two freaking targets.
Like how what did they think they were going to do against Buffalo? Just not throw all game?
Go at DeMar Hamlin. There's George Kittle.
I don't get it.
Here's George Kittle on the back and forth. He has a nice little back and forth on the lack of targets.
You got a pass in the first play.
I did.
And you didn't catch another pass.
I did not.
An explanation on why you did not?
No, I do not have an explanation. I think I ran like six more routes the rest of the day. Could be a combination of that, but no idea. Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, I didn't feel that. I felt pretty open multiple times. It is what it is.
That's as critical as I've ever heard George Kittle be about a game plan, a game result, target share. That's an indictment on Shanahan, and that's an indictment on Brock Purdy. I know the sound was a little fuzzy there. It was a little fuzzy as Carter comes in with a Starbucks order. Hi, Carter. How you doing?
You're the largest barista of all time.
So wait a minute. Are you getting an espresso, Shasky?
Yeah.
Why do you need an espresso? You're already charged up.
I am slippery.
Everybody else asks, Thursday's giving break. They always ask me, man, how's Shasky doing? I don't know. I don't know. Leave me alone. I'm trying to get away from Shasky for 3 days. Right? No. Seriously. They're like, how many cups of coffee? That's the first question. How many cups of coffee does he has?
One.
Before the show, I tell him three.
What? It's not true.
Well, you're getting an espresso at 8 o'clock.
Well, because I had the coffee place that I normally go to wasn't open. Normally, I have one cup of coffee.
I drink
a bunch of water. This is what I do. I drink a bunch of water. I go hit the weights, right? You know, got to get a little pump on. I'm a little ticked off at the club right now because the hot tub jacuzzi jets aren't
the bubbles. They're
not hitting. They lessen the power. Carter and I were talking about this. Anyway, long story short, and then I sort of
walk. Why do they lessen the power? Somebody complained about it?
I don't know, but I'm about to complain back.
Yeah, you should.
I
haven't been to the hot tub in 3 months. I'm about to complain about that.
Well,
get the Jets right.
You feel me? Get the Jets right. We're not talking about the New York Jets, Rex Ryan. But and then, I went to go get my normal coffee, and the place was closed.
You know, George Kittle.
I've never heard him.
I know the sound's a little fuzzy. I have to play it one more time.
This is what happens when you lose. This is what happens when you lose.
I have not heard George Kittle.
He has no problem blocking when they're running and they're winning and they're slamming people down. They're always like, "Do it again, do it again." The second they go through two 20-point consecutive week losses, this is what happens.
You got a pass in the first play.
I did.
And then catch another pass.
I did not.
Explanation on why you did not.
No, I do not have an explanation. I think I ran like six more routes the rest of the day. Could be a combination of that, but no idea. Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, I didn't feel that. I felt pretty open multiple times. It is what it is.
George Kittle ran six routes?
Six routes the rest
Seven
of the game.
Routes?
After the first play, after he got catch the pass on the first play, and he ran six more routes the rest of the day. Six more routes.
He can't be hyperbolic. He means he's probably pretty literal when he, like.
Oh, he goes, I did not. I ran six more routes, a combination of six more routes. And I felt pretty open all game during those routes. And if you're Brock Purdy, how are you not starting with. Like, here's the thing with Patrick Mahomes when you watch him on Amazon. God. Mahomes starts looking at number 87. It's 87 and then. Where's Kelsey?
He doesn't even run routes. He just gets
open. Yeah, he just freelances. Yeah. Plays free football. How are you Brock Purdy in the snow game? Or Kyle Shanahan, because I'm linking them both together here, and you have number 85 who gets more separation than Debo ever has, and you give him two targets, and he runs six more routes the rest of the game? And how many pass attempts Brock Purdy had? 18 pass attempts.
At least 12 of them were screens, right?
It felt like it. You give George Kittle two targets, and you have him run six routes the rest of the day? I get it. Your offensive line is suspect. You don't have Trent Williams, so You can make the argument that you need him to pass block, but damn it, I'm paying him too much money. The pass block. I'm tired of him pass blocking. I need him to go out there and make plays. He breaks tackles. He's a tone setter. He's got speed. Right, yak. You need yak. You don't get yak anymore. We're not talking about Hennessy. We're talking about yards after the catch. That right there. I told myself this morning I wasn't going to get hyped up about this game, and I kept my emotions down. But damn it, when I hear my leader, George Kittle, the best franchise tight end, the best tight end this franchise has ever had, and he's talking about, yeah, I ran six more routes the rest of the day. What? That is coaching. That gets coaches fired.
Well,
that gets coaches fired. And I'm not saying it's fired Shanahan, but you continue to mess around like this, and that heats up the seat a lot quicker than you think.
Well, this is how you lose a locker room.
Oh, my God.
Especially a leader like him who's been in your back pocket since day one. Has he not?
They came on this show and said, we ride for Shanahan.
Yeah, this is what happens when teams lose, man. You start circling the drains. I was questioning whether we were going to see Dobbs in that game earlier.
May not have hurt if we're going to get George Kittle two targets.
I mean, at least run around a little. In the 3 or 4 minute mark in the third quarter, I literally tweeted out all caps, why the hell are we not in shotgun, no huddle formations? What are we doing?
The only time I've ever heard Kittle sound like that, and obviously all the players are sad after, it was after the Super Bowl loss.
Oh,
when
good call.
When he was like, he had what, one okay. catch in that game?
Oh my God, he had like, three targets in
the Super Bowl. He was pretty God. Salty, but again, it's a Super God. Bowl loss. Everyone's yeah. mad. But he was basically saying, yeah, I felt like I could have done more. I could have been
yes
know, target, but that and was his way of saying you guys should throw the ball to me.
And then you watch the Netflix doc, and you find out that this guy literally couldn't lift his arm, and he ran into the locker room, got some sort of an injection. At least that's the implied, you know, because it's behind closed doors, and then comes running back. It's like, I'm good. Get me out on the field, and literally like they just ripped. I don't know whoever it was, Ross Dwelly.
Yeah,
like get out of here. I'm coming in, dude.
Or Braden Willis, somebody. He was like, get off the field.
As he should.
What do you have? Four targets in a Super Bowl? We discussed that, and it goes back to this. Last night, for me, it wasn't about losing to Buffalo, because I thought they would lose to Buffalo at full strength. It's the way you lost, but it's a microcosm of the season, and that it's not a Super Bowl hangover per se, but it's like revisiting that night in Las Vegas. You said something, I didn't even remember it, because what I remember walking out of Super Bowl was two things. Well, three things. One, I almost kicked that kid's ass on the strip. Kept talking crazy to me. I was like, I'm going to kick your ass. Jasky grabbed me. He said, you're on television, bro. You got a career. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to kick this guy's ass.
On his next
I said,
deal.
This guy's testing me. And I told him to leave me alone. I'm in a bad place right now. So I remember that. I remember hugging a young lady with braces. She was like 12 years old, sobbing. Okay. Sobbing out of her mind. And I felt the pain. I hugged her. I was like, I was giving her therapy. It's like, it's going to be okay. We're going to be back. But also the first thing walking out of that stadium was Shasky saying, B, there's a difference between good and great. Mahomes is great. And when he needed to be great, he was great and he won that game. Pretty was good, but not good enough. And that's the difference. And that's not staying in that stadium watching them celebrating snow angels and confetti. That stuck to me forever. And I'll never forget that.
There is a difference.
I didn't remember myself telling you that I feel like that's the end, and I feel like that we're not going to get back to this point. We're not here. I tried to trick myself.
I know, we all did.
I tried to trick myself.
Well, since the overtime and deciding not to take the ball, deciding not to kick the ball off and take the ball first, what has gone right?
Not much.
I mean, you could have pointed to Jordan Mason at some point, but you literally put him in the icebox for weeks on end. Now, to be fair, he did hurt his shoulder, and for a couple-week period, he did look a little hesitant, and Guerrero was better. But the second CMC came back, Kyle went right back to, he's the bell cow, no one else can get touches.
You don't even play Guerrero. You see Guerrero in space yesterday. He's got speed.
How many touches for Guerrero total yesterday?
He got one catch for a -3 yards.
Uh-huh. A screen.
And four carries for 19.
Five
and a touchdown.
Wow.
And a touchdown.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
But I'm okay with that if you give Mason 13 carries.
They all came after CMC got hurt.
I know.
Of all the, we want to get to 40 rushes or whatever the hell this magic number is. Yeah, it doesn't mean just batter ram CMC into the line.
Boy, George Kittle's never been that critical. Wow. Let's go to, who's who on this? All right, I know who you're going to want to go with.
Well, I want to make sure if you're going to go to him, let him lay it all out. I want to have time to react.
I'm not a GM, even though I'd love to be one.
Tease him for the other side.
You want him on the other side?
Yeah, because I want to react to what he says, because he makes good points.
All right, so we
got... Very salient.
What about David Frisno?
Let's go, Dave.
David Frisno, let's go.
Man, hey. Yeah, I just think this team just looks lost, man. It just looks like... You know, the coaches look like Shanahan looks lost. He's on the sideline all year. Just seems like, doesn't seem like no joy, like he wants to be there. And the game yesterday specifically, I thought it was over after that first drive. We literally ran right down the field, right down their throats with CMC and Mason. And this is the microcosm of this year where Shanahan goes away from what was working and started passing. And we had to kick a field goal. Like, I thought, I know we had injuries, but I thought the key to this team's success, especially for this year with the circumstances, was the three-headed bell cow, just run the ball. Like, we have no identity. What is the identity of this team? If they just look lost with no answers, and I just feel like everybody just looking at for somebody, like a leader, to step up. Like, what are we doing?
This is the identity of the team. Dave, I'll let you finish. The identity of the team is this. Undisciplined, unwilling to tackle, not hungry as they used to be, overpaid, top heavy, injured, turnover prone, mistake waiting to happen, special teams disaster team. That's the identity.
Shelling themselves. They're shelling themselves.
Yeah, and I agree. Real quick, guys, and I listen to this. How many scapegoats is Shanahan going to have? Mm. First it was Jimmy, then it was Steve Wilks. Then it was Trey Lance. Now it's probably going to be Sorensen. It's probably going to be Brad Purdy. At some point, it might be Lynch. I mean, at some point in time, my guy, like,
well, it's time we'll catch up to him, Dave. And we got to run here because of the break. Good call, Dave. We'll get to some. we got 24 seconds. I'm going to play this. Oh, no, we got a break right now? Right now? All right.
On the other side, we got a caller in BPA.
We got Jimmy Fremont I want to get to because he has something. We got Matt in the corner pocket who always sits in the corner down in the Warriors game. Yeah. I want to get to Matt. I want to get to Rob in Dublin. Rob is a good caller as well. 888-957-9570. Where we at, Niner fans? Because I got a cut from Shanahan and we're going to play on the way back. And I want you to react to it, Shasky. That's coming up, brought to you by the all-new Honda of Vallejo.
Good of a team as those past teams, so that's kind of how I look at it. We're not the same team at all. Every team each year is different, but I'm not going to say that this team is the same as last year's team. We're just not fighting as hard. We got a bunch of different guys out there. We've been trying to find our way since the beginning. Haven't quite found that yet. There's still a lot of season left, and we expect to play better, but I'm not going to say that our team doesn't have fight.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yay!
What up, Turtle Pie? Hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving. All our roasters, we hope you had a good Thanksgiving. We can't wait to celebrate the holiday season December 20th. December 20th.
Turtle Pie Laughing better
Monk,
be there.
Laughing Monk Brewery.
With a
Turtle
package.
Pie. Hey, Turtle Pie.
I need a Christmas package.
Well, he had
maybe
a package.
Maybe some mistletoe.
He had a package of the Mills High School pancake fundraiser.
Oh.
He came in with the suitcase. Said, Bonte, I've been looking for you. No, no, not that suitcase. No. Not that. Anyway. But no, Turtle Pie better be there December 20th at Sunnyvale Laughing Monk Brewery, where the Doobie Awards, live and direct in person. I hear the Shaskies and the Porters are going to fill it out. But we got to get some Hills in there. We got to get some Tyndalls. We got to get some Who's Who. I need the Gangsters. I need the Techies. I need the Bloods. I need the Crits. I need everybody in that building. That's right. We'll call a truce. We're going to have it all. Laughing Monk Brewery, December 20th. Take the day off. It will be well worth the time. We're going to have a lot of fun. And guess what? Not only that, we love you so much. There's no other station out there that comes to you. We come to you. We're going to feed you as well.
Now let's go.
Lobster linguine.
Oh, I can't wait.
Stuffed chicken breast. What, I had a prosciutto in there?
I know. Bonte was selling it to my wife yesterday.
I was selling it to her.
I was like, you got to come on down, Michelle. Let's go.
Well, she also said, Spadoni, It's not at a strip club, right? I could take LJ to a strip club. I was like, well, you know what? He baptized by fire, baby. We could have done now. At some point, he's going to have to pop his sherry. Might as well do it at a young age.
Oh, my God.
All right, okay. LJ is a handsome young fella, man. He's.
Don't talk about that.
Seeing Daddy Shasky is also cool, man. Just wish we could see Daddy Shasky on the road sometimes. I like Daddy Shasky. I was like, oh, man, look at this guy, man. He's walking around, little LJ, man. It's so cute.
We were having a great time. The guy went straight for the yellow, like, plastic dump truck thing.
So many little girls there.
Oh, my God. And they were, like, serving like, burgers in that little area.
Oh, yeah, the little restaurant thing. Yeah.
LJ, like, looked in, and he was like, way too many kids. Yeah, I'm
good.
And then it was great. I was so proud of him. This is, like, little dad. Like, I wrestled him every day to try to get tough, right? Some little boy just crushed him accidentally. Just crushed him. And I was looking at him, and I was like, come on, be all right. And he was fine. The other little kid, my head, he hit me. I'm like, dog, you speared him like you were Goldberg.
It was a lot.
And he was fine. It was great. You know, you're like, yes, I'm building a tough child.
And he goes, are you okay today? I was like, I had a great time. I was just in Holtz mode.
Yeah, so I know, everybody was I know good. That. Yeah.
You know that mode. You party packs, you're doing this and that. And
sounds like LJ is more durable than any 49er.
Oh, we'll see why you got to go there. Why you got to go there?
Oh, my God. There's no doubt in my mind.
Why you got to go there? But you hear Shanahan and that cut, because we're going to get to all the lines here, everybody. Uncle Charlie's on the line? Wow.
I'm hurting.
TC's back on. Listen, Shanahan's saying that this team is different than in the past and last year.
He's right, though.
And he's
a high-level loser, bro.
And it shows.
Don't do that today.
But this is where I say all the time, the NFL is now a year-to-year league. It's a year-to-year league. And that's why next year can look completely different than this year.
Ponte.
Players at any position can change. It is a year-to-year league. How's Brock Purdy look this year compared to last year? Will he be around next year? If he is next year, what's the contract going to look like? What's Kyle going to look like as a head coach? Who's going to be their defensive coordinator? Will you have the same defensive line coach? Will the linebacker core be the same? It's a year-to-year league. So that's why I think in modern NFL, Shasky, it's tough to get married to players. It's tough to buy a jersey out there because they could... They could get clipped at any minute.
I think it's even more dramatic than that. Like, yes, the roster dramatically changes year to year. I think it's month to month. A month ago, Bryce Young was literally playing in five other cities. A month later, and I'm like, do not trade Bryce Young.
Well, if you do, I'd take a flyer on Bryce Young.
But you get where I'm going?
No, I get exactly what you're going.
Last year, at one point, we were all like, damn, the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. Right? They were 10-1. Mm-hmm. Everyone felt great about them. A month later, you were like, that team's broken.
Well, think about this year with Philadelphia. 6 weeks ago, we're saying fire Sirianni. Everybody, including Philadelphia.
That's what I'm saying.
Now they're going to Baltimore and snuffing out the Ravens.
It's crazy.
In Baltimore.
It's crazy. Think about where we were with the Seahawks. The Niners beat the Seahawks on a Thursday night. We're like, don't got to worry about them. Right? They're at the top of the division a month later.
After Geno walking off the field like he was Joe Namath at the Levi's Stadium.
So to your point about like year to year, I think even within the season, we see just giant pendulum swings. Giant swings back and forth.
It's crazy. Anthony Richardson had a game-winning drive yesterday.
He looked great.
Conversion.
And then told him to hold the L.
Yeah, I know. That was a swing game in my pickup pool. Hey, now I'm one game behind.
I kind of, just talking about the NFL over the weekend, I kind of respect... Gerard Mayo electing the 68-yard field goal there. It was only like a yard short.
It was actually
so close.
It was actually insane. And I was Drake like, May's there's no good. Way. Drake May is playing good. He
and
is playing
Raiders.
Well.
Just for a second, because I know we're going to go to
they got hosed.
Because right now, I'm in salt mode, right? And what I mean by that is, like, my team's not winning. I swear to God, someone better take the Chiefs out.
Hey, what do they call it when you have, like, a premonition and you, like, dream about something?
Yeah, it's a premonition. Yeah.
I just had one. That moment when you said the salt and me drinking the car, I swear to God, I was like, wow, where did I see that before?
Oh, deja vu.
Okay. I just had deja vu. I swear to God.
I met Sam's Chatterhouse Friday. We went out to go
it's
to.
It's crazy. I
it was amazing.
It
we went out there and I thought, God, the Chipino was so good. And I pick up LJ because he's like, you know, fussy after an hour. We walk over. I'm watching the end of the Raider game. I go, O'Connell's going to get it done. He's going to take out the Chiefs. This is going to be a great weekend. The Niners, Brock's going to play. We're going to win, right? And I'm watching, and I go, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. As the referee is running out doing the false start thing, the play is live. They fumble the ball off of his shoulder. The center is losing his mind. I have no audio because I'm at Sam's Chatterhouse, okay? You're just watching in the bar area with no audio. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me that the Chiefs are going to win this game. So right now, the only mission I have in life in terms of the NFL for the remainder of this year outside of my Niners is, dear God, somebody better take the Chiefs out.
No, we hope so. We hope so. But not only that, the NFL hosing the Raiders, the official from the sideline was coming in signaling a false start, which means the play should be dead.
I hate the Chiefs so much.
The play should have been blown dead.
I've never rooted for the Raiders more in my life.
It's unbelievable. The play should have been blown dead, and it wasn't.
He threw a ball getting crushed,
by the way,
like 60 yards in the air. It was one of the best throws I've seen all year.
Since we like subtweeting, right? We like subtweeting. I'm feeling a little petty this morning.
What's wrong on?
How about this from a particular beat writer? She'll rename nameless because we're not going to get a mass satisfaction. Taking of inventory following the camp of preseason in week one, straight out of position groups. The quarterback apparently had improved. I think as of right now, he hasn't improved. The running back room improved. Well, I think Jordan Mason just popped, so I'll give him that one. Wide receivers improved. They have the worst separation rate in the league, and it's not even close. Tight ends improved. How many catches for Eric Saubert? How about this? Offensive line improved. Nope. Defensive line improved.
Nope.
Linebackers worse. Yeah, got that one right. DBs improved. I give you that one. Kicker punters improved.
I watched the guy O'Driscoll, whatever his name is. He slide tackled the guy. He had no intention of trying to. He literally was trying to kick him from behind. Oh, I don't know what we're doing. Jake Moody, poor guy. And by the way, he's the 32nd most accurate kicker in the league.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. He missed a 45-yarder. He missed a 55-yarder.
I mean, he had no chance. I'm so numb to being angry, I'm not even mad at him.
Last two draft classes, absolute joke. Let's go to, all right, we're going to start here with BPA. Brian in Palo Alto.
What's
he's been
up,
a hold
man?
The longest. Brian in Palo Alto. Are you still feeling optimistic?
No, I'm good, you know. I'm not depressed or anything. I think, is Jair Brown really the worst safety in football? I think it's sort of is a pretty good encapsulation of, I don't even know how you evaluate the players anymore, right? Because this is such a poorly coached football team, which it really is the biggest indictment of Kyle, right? You have the worst defensive coordinator in the NFL. You have the worst special teams coach in the NFL. You have, and I guess you have Kyle. I don't know, is he a top 10 coordinator at this point? And so, and then you look at the Eagles, you got Vic Fangio, you got Kellen Moore, right? You have two, high level elite coordinators, at the two most important coordinator positions. And I think, they're very, I have a friend who's like a pretty successful defensive coordinator in high school Bay Area. And he's like, that's the poorest coach defense I've ever seen, right? Like, you just from a technique standpoint, from defensive line to the second level, they're bad. They're just bad. They're just a bad team.
Nick Sorensen, ABPA, real quick. I didn't think I could get lower than Steve Wilks, but somehow, some way, it's gotten lower than Steve Wilks. It's gotten a lot worse than Steve Wilks.
It's not lower than Steve Wilks. It's cavernous, the gap. and the fact, to me, Kyle's going to have to eat it.
Oh, man.
His connection. I don't know what's going on with his connection.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to the other line.
But you know what, though? Like, on his point, like, the Sorensen's bad. And I don't know where Kyle is as a coordinator right now, offensively.
Yeah.
I don't know. That game plan against Buffalo, if you were catering that to Brock's hurt shoulder arm, like, Brock probably shouldn't have played that.
Yeah, he shouldn't have played.
Like, I don't want to hear any excuses.
What about the game plan defensively? What was the game plan defensively?
Not just to eat snow. Am I wrong? Man.
Jair Brown in that angle of the 65-yard. Dude, Buffalo went 97 yards and, like, didn't even flinch. I'm thinking, okay, you're going to pin Buffalo deep. It's in the snow. Maybe they get a little conservative. They went down the field like it was nothing, like a hot night through butter.
They did a hook and ladder on a simple play to Amari
in
Cooper.
In the snow!
And they were having so much fun. I remember when football was fun for us.
Dude, Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, was hitting snow angels after the game.
Yeah, well.
He did an interview with ESPN, and him and Josh Allen, put a division championship hat on him. By the way, the Buffalo Bills clinched December 1st. I think it's the earliest somebody has clinched since Peyton Manning was quarterback in the Colts. They went 9 plays, 97 yards in 2 minutes and 50 seconds. They went 97 yards in less than 3 minutes in the snow.
I mean, B, you could give me any stat and I'd believe it.
I mean, come on, man. Wrap your head around
I
that,
I saw
folks.
You at 1 o'clock. What did I say to you? We're probably going to lose by 20 plus.
Yeah, we all kind of felt. I tried to talk myself into it being a good game.
You're like, nah.
No, all week long I was saying they're going to get blown out. Even, I don't know if you watched this on the postgame show. We're doing the promos.
Oh, I watched and it. And I was like, hyping up the
yeah,
Niners.
Did you see my face? I was just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And Bully Lightweight said, maybe we've got to stop crowding people too early.
Oh, Mully said that.
Maybe we got to stop crying.
Well, there is an element about this team that it kind of does drive me crazy. There's a Houston Rockets level of arrogance where it's like, Debo said earlier this year on his podcast,
we're the
best team in the last 5 years. It's like, no, you're not. Like, I know you want to believe that, and you could say that to each other, but you don't have the championship to back it up. So saying it out loud is hubris, and it's wrong. And I look at it like, this team really does think, because all the money they've been paid, because all the success they've had in the regular season, and that they've been on the doorstep, that they have achieved the ultimate prize. They haven't. And it reminds me a lot of Alex Boone saying, we've been to the mountaintops. Like, no, you didn't, Alex.
Yeah.
No, you lost.
You lost.
Like, there's a hunger about the teams that, like, for the Royals, for example.
You know what?
When the Royals lost to the Giants, they were so close. Yep. They went back the very next year, and boom, and they finished it off. The Niners get so close, and then now they fell off.
You know, I didn't subscribe to the whole Houston Rockets theory for a long time.
I've been saying it forever.
You have been saying it forever. But now that I think about it, and it's the way you lose, right?
Exactly.
The Rockets missed 27 straight threes in the Game 7. 27 straight three-point attempts they missed, and they kept going back to the well. And you think about the way the Niners have lost. The first Super Bowl against Kansas City, they blew that game. 3rd and 15, you blew the game. You threw deep, you had three timeouts, first and 10 at the 49-yard line with a minute 49 left, and Patrick Mahomes. So even if you do complete the, I always say this, nobody says, Emmanuel Sanders, if he catches a deep ball, it's still a minute 30 left. Do you think at that point in the game, that Niners defense is going to stop Mahomes and Andy Reid?
No.
They had two timeouts left. They were great in the 2 minute. Didn't you think about last year's Super Bowl? Losing overtime, you elect to take the ball first, which is asinine. You think about the Rams NFC Championship game. You're up 17-7. Tart drops them. The way they lose has a Houston Rockets feel to it.
I am convinced.
So that aspect of it, yeah, I'm kind of with you now on the whole Houston Rockets theory. The way they lose, like those Rockets teams, feels very similar.
And they're regular season juggernauts, and then in the playoffs, like, it's who knows. I don't think it'll ever, until Kyle wins the Super Bowl, he'll never be able to shake the overtime thing. That's just my belief.
There's just a lot there.
Yesterday I saw the face of a man who realized, yeah, it's not going to happen with this core. Like, it wasn't just about the season being over. It was about, like, damn, we're all the way back at the bottom again.
And I think it's harder for Kyle because he is boys with Deebo.
Of course.
He is boys with George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk and now Purdy and now CMC.
Well, I hope he learns a lesson, though, because I'm going to be real with you. As the head coach, you can't be boys with everyone.
You got to be like Bill Walsh.
I think you need to be a little more comfortable.
You got to be like Bill Walsh.
If anything, they've hung on to guys a little too long.
Be like Bill Walsh. Curse your assistants out to make the players hate you, but play for the assistant coaches so you get the best out of these players. Bill Walsh's theory was genius when you think about it. Belichick the same way. Bill Parcells the same way. Don't get too close. We'll get close here and there. When you're taking vacations with them, now that's why it's hurting them. Because he's seeing the guys that he rolled with. Who knows what the conversations were like in Cabo on these vacations with these guys.
He's emotionally blinded by Deebo. Can we? He's clearly blinded by Deebo.
The Deebo ending.
Is one of the sadder Niner endings. Vernon Davis went out sad. Remember when he went out sad with the Niners?
Yep.
This feels worse.
Oh, it feels.
Because Debo's way more defiant.
Well, not only that, now you think about fits for Deebo around the league. With his speed and lack of separation at the line of scrimmage, where the hell does he fit anymore?
Well,
he's going to find a place to play.
If Kansas City gets him, I mean,
yeah, sure, they'll use him.
Why are you smiling?
They'll use him for four gadget plays here and there, but he's become a gadget player. Who said it? Did Baldy say that? He's kind of a
Ryan
gimmick
Baldinger
player.
Said that
Ryan Baldinger. He's a gimmick player
and if
now.
If I gave him to Andy Reid, y'all don't think he would have a monster.
Oh, we all know that he'll make some plays, but they're not going to treat him like a number one.
No, you're
a specialist.
No doubt.
Let's go to Matt in the corner pocket.
What's up, Matt?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to give a shout out to all the overnight mind-bending machines that finally got everybody to be able to see Brock Purdy for what it is. Hey, Joe, this one's for you. You ready? Because I know you like lists. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Josh Allen, Jordan Love, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, Bo Nix, DJ Stroud, Jaden Daniels, Tua, Caleb Williams, Jalen Hurts, Derek Carr, all have one thing in common. Do you know what it is?
They're better than Brock Purdy?
One might say that, but you're on the line. They all have more touchdown passes than Brock Purdy.
Oof.
Like, that is a really, really long list.
Wow.
And, you know, it just shouldn't be that way. And like, the red zone struggles, all that, like, we get it. But I think you guys have hit the nail on the head. And by the way, it makes for great radio. Doesn't sucks at the heart, but makes for great radio.
So Caleb has more touchdowns than Brock? That is crazy.
Crazy. Hey, we always say that.
Great
losses
list.
Are good for business, but we don't like losses aren't good for business. That's where the businessman Bonte steps into play.
The part that's hard for me to like come to grips with, I'll let you finish here, but like, and this is the part where I'm at. Like, there was a point in time where Garcia was a good quarterback. He was really good. And then he wasn't. Like, he got hurt, the team deteriorated, and he had to bounce around before he would, you know, eventually come back. Kaepernick was a really good quarterback. Then he got hurt, the team deteriorated around him, the coaching was terrible, and then he wasn't good anymore. Jimmy was a good quarterback, got hurt. Like, it's the same thing over and over, and I feel like I'm now living it again with Brock Purdy.
Couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, we are where we are. But let's end this call on a good note. And, Bonte, I know you know this story inside and out. I know this story really, really well inside and out. And just seeing Ray Davis score yesterday in the NFL.
So cool.
If anybody knows, you know, what the deal with Ray is and all the things that he went through, read the New York Times article. Kid's a great, great kid. And he worked his way out of here and you know, got injured, hit three different schools on his way to the NFL, really worked his butt off. And to see him score a touchdown yesterday, even though it was a horrible day for us, really nice thing for Ray Davis. Anyway, gentlemen, you guys are great. See you.
All right, see you. See you later. Thanks for the call. I see you at Chase Center later this week. Ray Davis. We had Raymond Davis on, his father, who played at Galileo High School, the Academic Athletic Association. And Raymond Davis was a three-year varsity stud. Like, I believe Ray Davis could have played at the next level, about 5'8", had speed to burn. But obviously those genes have trickled down to Ray Davis, who's now in Buffalo. And we know the story. Ray Davis was bouncing around from foster home to foster home because Raymond, they were struggling. But Raymond put him in a great position saying, look, I know I'm not able to provide for my son like I want to, but I'm going to get him the help that he needs. And boy, did he help him. Raymond Davis is a great father. He's got other kids that are doing very well. He has another son who's got a degree. Daughter's going to college. Raymond Davis is a hell of a father. But to see him in Buffalo with his son going to score a touchdown against his hometown team, that was really cool. That was really, really cool. And we had Raymond Davis on, Shasky, and we could hear the joy in his voice of his son just being drafted out of Kentucky, man. So a hell of a story. Good call there, Matt, in the corner pocket. All right, Ed McCaffrey on the Up and Adams show. Kay Adams, here's Ed McCaffrey, the father of Christian McCaffrey, on Christian's injury.
He has a PCL strain, so he'll get an MRI today.
Okay.
And hopefully it's not too serious. And hopefully it's not too serious, and it's something he can bounce back from pretty quickly.
All right, I look, PCL strain is what Ed McCaffrey is saying, his father. PCL strain, sprain, tear, whatever it is.
I mean, that means it's a tear. Strain is a tear.
Strain is a tear, basically.
Yes, that is the legal. Like, strain. When you say strain, there's a slight tear.
Slight tear.
And if there's a grade one, it's slight. Grade two, it's worse. Three, gets worse.
Well, you know what? I don't want to see him on the field the rest of the season. I didn't want to see him on the field in the first place. Bilateral Achilles tendonitis, what? Is their running back going to play on that? And again, people trying to stunt, say, oh, people say the burst. Baldy came on the show and said his eyes, the burst, couldn't get to the second level. We all see it. Now, yesterday he had the best burst he's had all season long. But didn't you think, Shasky, that it was a ticking time bomb?
Oh, there's not a question in my mind. I mean, like, it was just a matter of time. And I honestly don't fault the Niners for playing him if he wants to play. He's the highest paid running back in the league. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the best players on the planet last year. Mm-hmm. But I think where I am frustrated with them is that, guys, just because he's back doesn't mean he needs to play every snap. You know, just like ease him in a little is all I'm saying. No one's saying like, hey, 5 reps this week, 10 next week, 15. We were saying he doesn't need to play 51 snaps week one.
Right.
That's what we were saying. Like, maybe, like, you know, in the 30s and then work our way into the 40s and then, you know, kind of go from there. Like, there was a play. I wrote it down where you had Isaac Arendo in the backfield with Christian McCaffrey. Yep. And Debo. And I'm saying, like, okay, where has this been the last 3 weeks? Why couldn't we get Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey on the field at the same time? No one is saying he has to exclusively play running back. You can use him in a variety of places. I don't get it.
If
I gave Ben Johnson, and I'm dead serious on this, or Andy Reid, if I gave them this same team, I don't think they use Kyle Juszczyk as much in formations.
No.
And I don't think that Mason sits for the stretches of time that he's sat in the last 3 weeks.
Not even close. I want more Garindo. I'm intrigued with Garindo because he's the one. He's probably your fastest player on offense right now. I need home run hitters on the field. When you look around the league right now, Philadelphia, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, home run hitters.
Yeah.
Right? Let's look at the NFC. Green Bay, Josh Jacobs, he's hitting the grand slams. He's hitting home runs.
Christian
Watson can't catch, but he's a home run hitter. Bucky Irvin in Tampa Bay. Wow, look at this rookie alongside Mike Evans. Washington, Jaden Daniels, home run hitter alongside Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
Detroit has multiple home run hitters, Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs. And David Montgomery can run. Amon-Ra St. Brown can make some things happen. And Sam Laporta's now coming on. They're getting him involved in the game plan. Seattle. Jaxon Smith-Njigba looks like a home run hitter.
Well, we know DK is.
And we know DK
is. He has the all-time rookie record in a playoff game.
Puka Nacua.
I mean, he's a superstar.
Kyren Williams.
See how many tackles he broke?
Oh, my gosh. Kyren Williams.
Yeah. And now they're playing Blake Corum.
Yep. Blake Corum is starting to get the
longest play from scrimmage for them yesterday. Yep.
No doubt. Now, you look at Arizona. Kyler Murray, home run hitter.
Yeah.
Trey McBride.
Yeah, he's
pretty good.
Baller.
Pretty good. James Conner, the Terminator, signed an extension before the game. He makes things happen.
Yeah,
we saw that at Levi Stadium multiple times. So you get to my point here. You kind of feel my point. Isaac Grindo needs to play.
I know.
You need home run hitters on the field. Now, how about this? I just saw this from Josh Dubow to AP. We talk about Ricky Pearsall because it's not all on Brock Purdy, not all on Shanahan. But for some reason, Ricky Pearsall, the last three games, has run 63 routes. Last three games, he's run 63 routes.
And they've been trailing by 1,000 points in the last two.
63 routes in the last three games.
What a horrible value for a first-round pick.
Wait till you hear this.
God.
Wait till you hear this. 63 routes in the last six games. He has 0 catches and 3 targets. He's run 63 routes, Ricky Pearsall, the last three games.
It's unacceptable.
He's got 3 targets and no catches.
Wow. I mean, wow.
That's
speechless.
Like, that's hard to do.
That's A.J. Jenkins.
That's
Rashawn Woods. Am I wrong?
That's Dante Pettis is laughing at that tweet, who had a 2-point conversion yesterday.
He made a play this weekend.
I know.
And got ran into as the kicker.
Dante Pettis had the big score against the Niners in the season opener a couple years ago.
I hate him.
63 routes for Ricky Pearsall the last three games, and he has 0 catches on 3 targets.
I did a deep dive before the draft on all the receivers that I would remember. I had pages.
Ricky Pearsall never came up.
And not even on my list. You know why? Because I watched him for about 5 minutes, and the good and the bad, and I was like, yeah, this guy's way too small.
But you got people telling us that he's the next Puka Nacua.
I mean,
it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable what happens in our own bubble.
He's the next best rookie receiver of all time. What? Like, what are we doing? In the words of Chris Mullin, we need to stop crowding people.
We got to stop this. We have to stop.
This is like when people said Mike Trout is better than Ken Griffey Jr. And Mickey Mantle combined. And I was like, can he play 10 full seasons?
I mean, it's unreal. Robin Dublin, what's happening, Rob?
And I'm looking at you, Spadoni, on that one.
I still stand by it. Him and Mason Miller.
Oh, well, no, no, no. Don't get me started with
Mason
Spadoni.
Mason Miller's better than Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, no, I was going to go Babe Ruth on him. He's talking about Babe. He's giving Babe Ruth slander. Robin Dublin. That was fun. Robin Dublin, what's happening?
Hey, good morning,